Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 132, part 2, Our Trials and Our Divine Deliverances. Today is Sunday, February 7th, 2010. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from spirited North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. Pastor Paul's mission is the grocery shelf to the state of Minnesota, and we're located in Disciples Ministries Historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you need food and you live in Minnesota and you are living in a household of two or more, or you're a senior 60 years and older or disabled with proof, you can call us at 612-521-4665 Monday through Friday between 1 and 3 p.m. to register your household for monthly groceries. You can also visit us online at www.pastorpaul.org where you can make a tax-deductible donation to support our urban mission operations. You can also join our community online. At the top of the homepage, you're going to find interactive links to Pastor Paul's blog, Flickr, the podcast, LifeVantage, YouTube, and Twitter. So be sure to join us online. And you can also leave a comment, ask a question, or make a suggestion. You can do that at Pastor Paul's blog, where you can also subscribe to the podcast. At the blog, you're going to find scripture links within Pastor Paul's show notes for each podcast. So be sure to go there to check out the scripture links. Be sure to join us part one on Friday and part two on Sunday, the conclusion of Pastor Paul's messages. So for the month of February, the lineup is this: Our Trials and Our Divine Deliverances, Seeing and Telling, We Are Hard Cases, and The Waters Will Be Watered. So have a fantastic month of February. Happy Valentine's Day. God bless you.
But no, not until Jesus speaks to me. No way will I be released from this thing. I am depressed. So you get sort of nuts. Now next you set up tests for yourself. Set up little obstacle courses and legalisms, and you're going to walk this way and walk that way, and there's only one way, the straight and narrow. There's only one way you can walk the straight and narrow. That's not like carrying a great big bag of guilt on. You can't get through the narrow gate. But you set up all these tests for yourself. They're unwarranted. Then we condemn ourselves when God does not condemn us. I will not condemn you. I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to save you. Now you start to lose confidence in yourself and friends. You don't know which friend likes you and which friend doesn't like you. It's because you don't like yourself. You don't think anyone else can like you. And pretty soon you just totally sort of wipe out. You find out in that situation who your friends really are. But anyway, you start to become unglued. Are you listening? See, it says in the Bible in the original Greek that Jesus glued everything together. All the worlds and all the trees and all the birds and all the bees and all the everything is glued together by Jesus, but you start to become unglued because you've left the gluer. Some of you frustrated gals out there, are you hearing what I'm saying? Maybe you got in some kind of a movement. Maybe you men got into some kind of a movement. You become distant. You sort of hear yourself talk, but it's like you're in a milk bottle. you ever hear yourself talk? You're talking, but sort of like you're disconnected. And it's like nobody hears you, and you're pressed up against the milk bottle. Does it sound crazy to you? See, there's all kinds of people out there in very varying degrees of what I'm talking about, but we don't want to preach it because it might sound kind of negative, don't you know? And then you start to apologize for your mere existence. I'm sorry, it's me. I'm alive yet. Huh? Did you realize there's Christians walking around like that? I'm sorry, it's me. I'm alive yet. Will you excuse me? It's faint. I think I'm going. Huh? And there's Christians all over like that, and there's people all over like that, and these psychiatrists are getting rich out of keeping you that way. Rich. Well, did you never felt that way? How many have felt that way? Put your hands up, beat the devil down today. There you are, every hand in the place. You on the radio, I see, put your hand up, don't put it up halfway so your wife can't see it, get it up there. You sitting in the office, put both hands up, stick a leg out. Get free. But we start to see ourselves, well, the Bible says we are gold, but we see ourselves as ugly old gray pots filled with dung. Vessels for the sewer crew. Honey buckets. And then every other prophet of doom will come your way. Right then and there at your very low peak. Doom, da, doom, doom, doom. We don't need to lift up doom. Oh, God. Doom. Huh? Doom and gloom. Right now on the campus going through all kinds of things. You don't need to hear that. You need to get out of the camp of doomsday doers and get moving for God. Oh, wow. I mean, you're in a real heavy situation now. Are you hearing this message? And then it's so very easy to write bitter things against yourself when clouds of darkness are hanging over your soul. Didn't this good man and this psalmist here do this? Asaph, didn't he? He refused to be comforted. One time I met a case that was so depressed, and I had been that way. I went through 9 months of it after I got saved. I'm glad I did, because I could minister to you folks. And he was so depressed, I thought this person was going to die. Actually, I thought, this man is going to die. He's so depressed. So I laid down in the floor, and I commenced to cry with him. Oh! Oh! Pretty soon, after about 10 minutes, he came up on one elbow, and he said, "What are you yelling about?" Well, I said, "That's strange. I was going to ask you the very same thing." "Well," he says, "I was depressed, but you know what? I feel better." I don't care if people think it's unorthodox or whatever they think. If it gets the job done, who really cares? Huh? God, we're going for freedom. Remember that song, "But Sleep Won't Come the Whole Night Through"? I think it was Joni James. No, you wouldn't remember. It's way back, way past. I'm so old, I don't believe it. But here I am. Never thought I'd make it tell you the truth. Oh, but now sleep comes hard. But sleep won't come the whole night through. Your cheating heart will tell on you. Something about falling rain, you know. And he says here, thou holdest mine eyes awake, and a doubting child of God cannot sleep. Now I see you out there with those bags under your eyes. You're trying to figure out all about God. Oh, I wonder what God wants me to do. The next thing. No, I wonder what is. And you've been 20 years in the Lord, and you can't sleep, and I sympathize with you because your depression is really real. But you're doubting God. Some can care less, and they just go to sleep like some old, you know, deaf cat. And if you can't sleep and are saved because you doubt, learn from this message, please. But also in this very circumstance, it may sometimes occur that the good man cannot tell his story to anybody else. So many people like that. They think that they have a sin that no one else should hear about. Well, you shouldn't tell some people about your sins, that's for sure. Because they got motor mouth. Remember, I had a tape years ago. It's called Mitesize Your Mouth and Repent. I think I'll sell that one to Midas Mufflers. Ask him for a donation. Wonder if they could put mufflers on mouths. I don't know. But the doubting child of God. Oh, what a hard time we have. Then he cannot tell anybody what's wrong inside of him. Listen to what he says. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I dare not tell anyone else. It's too great a grief to be unburdened. Have you ever been there? A guy came to me and he was a porno freak. You know, I can't tell you, I can't tell you, I can't tell you, no, I can't tell you. I says, you're a porno freak. Or a homosexual. Or I masturbate. Or I'm 60 years old and I'm in love with a 16-year-old girl. So, looks like a case for God. Right? No, now, you look at the scripture here and it says that he could whisper it low at the Redeemer's feet. I believe it says like here, my Lord, have pity upon thy servant. But he can't come to tell anybody else, any others. Because he thinks no one has been through such a thing as he has been through. One time I was called over to a house and there was a little boy over there that was in deep depression. He was only about 7 years old. And he had lost something like 20 pounds. He was skin and bone. He was sitting off in a dark corner, and no one could get through to the kid. Nobody. So I just prayed in tongues, and I started to believe God to show me what was wrong with the guy. And he had these spirits visiting him at night. And he had these thoughts. I don't know exactly what I did, but I remember I started singing a song, as usual.
And now, I wish you Merry Christmas. Things to make the whole day bright.
But anyways, through this and that and singing and whatever and the scripture and the binding and the loosing, the young guy got free. Sat down and had a great big old Oreo cookie and a glass of milk. And I had about a half a dozen of them. Are you hearing this? Oh, God.
But anyway, God, he thinks, if my brothers find out, I'm all through.
Or maybe he has confided in some unfeeling legalist and he has told him, and the guy said, repent, you filthy dog. And then he shrinks back into a deeper despair. And he says to himself, maybe I should give up. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever felt maybe I should just give up, cut and run? Am I the only one? Do you ever think to yourself, I wish my life was over? The devil ever talk to you? Well, you're driving along, all you got to do is turn the car, and that's all she wrote. Huh? And so everybody's eyes go over towards somebody else. Look at yourself. Have you ever thought that? Put your hands up. Never? Put them way up. And you know who that is? That is the devil. I haven't thought it once. I have thought it many times. And a lot of other people have thought it right along with me. Yeah, drop dead. Drive off the bridge. Jump. Do anything. Just get out of my face. And so the Bible says there is nothing yet that is uncommon to man. Nothing's uncommon. Nothing is uncommon, but the only thing that gets in the way is our pride. So we don't, we better not tell this, we better not tell that, because, gee, the people will get the wrong slant on me. Or maybe they're slanted the same way you are. How do you know? See, and we're all balled up with appearances, how things appear. You don't go by sight. You don't go by what how things appear. Now, if I looked out into audiences and I went by what it appears to be, I would, oh, God, let me out of here. Whoa! Huh? Isn't it the truth? Oh, yeah, it's the truth. I find a lot of times, usually the goats with horn and hoof push on the very lean, tender ones in God's flock. And I call them miserable bastards. They don't belong to the kingdom of God. He that is troubled in spirit and cast down as often as a lamb despised by those who are at ease. When you're cast down and you're robbed in your spirit and you're in a dark depression and the depression engulfs you and the cloud settles in, you always got someone sitting there. Oh, I'm at ease. They have a certain way they sit. It's ickle. I'm at ease. Whatever is wrong with that person? Strange. Why don't they go to the Word of God? They can't receive it right now. Don't you understand? Well, by faith they should. Their faith is low right now, okay? And this is happening all over. I'm getting phone call after phone call after phone call.
letter after letter, and people are saying, what's going on? Life is going on. That's what's going on. Living in this body, this troubled body. Isn't it a weak little body? Little germ come walking up. Okay. Big guy, oh, get you. And he climbs right up and knocks you down. Bacteria, can't even see. But the rubber inners. Don't we like to rub it into one another? Why, whatever is wrong, just trust God. Let's go fellowshipping. You know, people that go fellowshipping are like table hoppers. You ever seen a table hopper when you're out in the world? They hop to one table. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And they hop to one table, the next table, and the next table. Hi. Oh, yes. Hi. Hi. And it's the same people that go fellowshipping. They jump ship, and they go from one ship to the other. It's hard, though, because they got to get in a rowboat. Hurry up. Huh? That reminds me of when we had coffee houses a few years back. Everybody was running from one. Hurry up, that coffee house will close. And they didn't even hear the music or ministry or nothing. They were so busy running from one coffee house. It was just like bar hopping. What time is it? 1:05. Let's go! Huh? Or they won't get to see me. They'll get along fine without your face in there. And maybe this man is the best of the whole company, and yet if he were to tell his experience, they would think him to be the very worst. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. Didn't I say his peace was too great that it couldn't be real? I just knew it. So what? He may be the very best in the whole church, and yet if he were to share what he was grieving over, every tisk-tisk head would wag like so many grandfather clocks. You know what I mean? Tisk, tisk. Do that. Now you remember that next time you tisk, tisk someone. You know what will happen? Just about time you think you're a cuckoo bird will come out of the middle of your forehead. Cuckoo! Oh, Lord. See, he has a great grief within, and he can't tell anybody. And now we come to one another point. And this, I believe, perhaps is the very worst of depression through which this man of God may go, namely, that even that which ought to comfort him will minister even more to his grief. And he says, I remembered God and I was troubled. Or I remembered some other Christian and I was troubled. Isn't that like when you're sick, when someone comes up and you're just, you got the flu. Oh, God, I've never been this sick in my whole life. And you answer the telephone. Some people just act, though. Don't act if you're sick. When you don't go into that. Like fall or a Jack and Jill, whatever. People that are sick. They're sickening. But no, I'm talking about when you're sick and you had the flu. Oh, do you want to look at meat and milk? Here. Here's a nice juicy steak with mushroom gravy. Huh? The cream pie. And a large glass of milk. You can't take it. And you say, I don't want nothing. It makes me sick even thinking about it. And then I remember God. And then I remembered food. The point. And so we can get soul sick when we think about bread of life. And we can't receive. We're soul sick. We gag on the word. Someone comes over and tries to stuff the word in us. Huh? Not ready for it yet. Repeat this after me. Huh? They're laying there and they're out of it, see? See, we need love and concern. Spiritual, let's say, chicken soup. Everything is working together for good for them who love the Lord to call according to his purpose. Now, I believe that rooster is out there crowing out there. You know what I mean? After the whole thing was over, that Peter went out there and he stripped this chicken, he threw him in the pot and cooked him. The one that crowed in his life. He turned it around. Now that the rooster's crowing didn't bother him because he wasn't sick now in his spirit over what he had done. So now he turned the whole thing around and now we got chicken soup. When we get back on our spiritual feed, don't we just appreciate God and the Word a whole lot more? At least for a while. But some, sooner or later, start all over again, making themselves spiritually sick, starving themselves, and they become unconcerned about other people. And when you become unconcerned about other people, you can't love yourself. And when you don't show yourself any love by loving others, you can't love God. And if you can't love God, you can't love others. And you can't love yourself. And you don't love yourself, then you get sick. But anyway, then are we more sympathetic to the physical and spiritual needs now that we have gone through it? But anyway, on the second point here and closing it up, what is the state of the child of God when he gets into this spiritual depression? Well, I'll tell you what a man does when he's not a child of God. He says, never again! No one will ever take advantage of me again! I'll be ready next time, Bucky boy! And he becomes bitter, and he becomes frustrated, he becomes resentful, and becomes argumentative. And so does the Christian that's into legalism. And I thought, oh yeah, any man will become a Christian when it's all silver slippers. When it's gilded chariots with puffed velvet, crushed velvet interior. When it's joyful walks, and when along the way you can skip your way to heaven, then it's nice being a Christian. And walking along the road and all kinds of park benches to sit on and everything along the way to heaven. Huh? No, the devil's on. There's a few of those times, but most times your gloom comes on. Storm clouds come on. The devil pops out from behind a tree with a whole great big board of darts. Huh? Fiery ones. Dips them in gasoline, starts them on fire, throws them at you. Got the picture? Woo! But see, it's only the man that really loves God that can say, though that he slay me, yet will I trust him. If he take away my comfort, and I have no joy, but in myself, yet will I cling to him. Now Aspa here did not go off, as many men would, to worldly pleasures. Okay, I've lost out now. Give me two tickets to Vegas. Go out there and gamble and raise hell and drown my thoughts in booze. No, you know what he was like? He was like a spanked child who can only be comforted by clinging to the very parent that spanked him. He clings to God the more that he's chastened, the more he clings to God. And the very first thing that Aspa did here was that he prayed and he said, I cried unto God with a voice, and it says it again, even unto God with my voice. We can pray. Verse 5, then he is ready to remember God. And he says, he meditated. We must meditate. We must remember all the former things that God has taken us through. And we, well, come to think of it, God delivered me out of a very similar situation. And there was another time, and this time we start adding it all up. We start building a case that we can throw at the devil. Well, I've gone this far by faith. Now why should I get into the flesh and try to make it through? Next he asked God, okay, God, where have I gone wrong? Let me come as a child unto you again. Next, notice how he dwells upon the works of God and the power of God. Thou art God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared the strength among the people. Lord, thou canst help me. Now he's getting confidence in God again. And he starts to say, but my case is difficult, but your grace is sufficient. And he's like the prodigal son that's returning, don't you see? I know my father. And I know that he will be merciful unto me, and I'll go back there, and I'll just be a farmhand. And Father, he says, you will take me in the last verse from Egypt and the Pharaoh and deliver me over into Canaan land. Wow. Let me read something here to you. Something of encouragement. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good. This is reading out of Romans 8 and 28. Causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew. Now listen to this. He also predestinated to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now listen. And whom he predestinated, these he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say of these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Even yourself. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies, period. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather, who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who intercedes for us, and in some scripture says, and the scripture says, forever. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Listen to it. Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Just as it is written, for thy sake we are being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. But in all things, glory to God, we are overwhelmingly conqueror through him who loved us. For I am convinced, get the gist of it, my God, get it, because it's so great and so powerful. powerful. Hallelujah. I am convinced, and you'll need this when you get depressed again. And my God, you will in the end times, and dark clouds will form over your head, and you'll say, nobody loves me, nobody cares, and you'll get into a fit of depression, and you'll have to come against the devil, and you'll have to believe God, nor height, nor depth, nor created things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let me skip over to 9 and 25. And he says also in Isaiah, I will call those who are not my people, you listening that aren't saved yet, glory to God, and her who is not beloved, and it shall be that in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. God is ready to move, glory to God. And Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, through the number of the sons of Israel, be the sand of the sea. It is the remembrance and the remnant that will be saved. For the Lord will execute his word upon the earth thoroughly and quickly. And just as Isaiah foretold, except the Lord of the Sabbath had left us to a prosperity, we would have become Sodom and would have resembled Gomorrah. But what shall we say then? The Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive that law. Are you hearing this? Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith. Hallelujah. But though it were by works, and they stumbled over the stumbling stone, just as it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense. He who believes in him will not be disappointed. Glory to God. The main message of Jesus Christ is simply to believe and go on. Glory to God. And don't you be worrying about the faults. Don't you be worrying about how you fell. But glory to God, pick yourself up and get going. Show love for one another and get out of the camp and get busy for God, because we're in the very end times right now. And God is calling a people out of a people. And he's saying, behold, in the end times I will do a new thing. Glory to God. Go on out, Paul. Feed the people. I'll give you the grace. I'll give you the power. I'll give you the group. I'll give you those that have come out of the camp. And glory to God, if they complain, leave them and go on. Glory to God. Because God is doing a new work. He's assembling saints right now to go out into the world. Hallelujah. And gather those people that no one wants. The Bible calls them a castaway. The low, base, perverted things of the world. God says, I will raise up of the world, are you hearing it, to confound the wise. And God is bringing in the police, and God is bringing in the school system, and God is going out and he's saying, Christian, if you won't do it, I'll assemble a great big mass of what you call freaks, and we'll go forward. Hallelujah. Have you heard this message today?